Blog Talk Radio.
Testing one, testing one, testing two, testing three. I don't even know if I'm on the air right now. This is like really stupid. Says that we're on the air. Well, if we're on the air, we're going to find out. This is Derek Felix, so we're testing out to see whether or not this actually show is actually working still. This is Derek Felix, and believe it or not, we actually are on the air. So what I'm going to say is that it's actually our first show back. It's been 2 months. It's been 2 months since I've actually done one of these things. And for some reason, our studio does not work anymore. So that's a great job out of Block Talk. They have not given us a studio to work with. So what that means basically is that anybody that calls into the show either has to call in through me or has to call in through our host number. So I don't know why there would be no studio, but I am your host, Derek Felix. This is Derek Felix with Hard Hits, and it's the first show that I've done in almost 2 months away. So welcome to our show, and we've got about 27 minutes to play off. It's good to be back. But I'm trying to actually inform my co-host about this show. And I'm telling him how to get in. So this is going to be a different kind of show until we actually figure out why we don't have a studio, even though I signed up for about a month right now. And did I get suckered in or what by the Block Talk? That's what we're trying to figure out, because it seems like I have. Unless I upgrade, do I have to upgrade? I mean, that's the question. I mean, we are going to be upgrading eventually, but right now we can't do it. Can't do it. So, what I will say is that it's a little strange, you know, doing a show where you don't have phone numbers, where you don't know if you're even live on the air. That's a great job out of Block Talk Radio again. I can't thank them enough for this stupid thing. Like, why would you suggest that we can't do free shows anymore? Only pay $12 for a month card, and then not give me a studio. I mean, that's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. But it seems to be the case. So if that's how it's going to be, then I guess I'm just going to be hosting, and it's going to go directly to podcast. Now, I have no idea how that's going to work. But since I am hosting, a lot has happened, actually, over the past 2 months, actually. And I believe our last show was October. Actually, yeah, October 20-something, I think, was our last show. What happened was, like, we filled up the allotment of free hours, and I guess we weren't getting enough listeners. So this is very odd, obviously. But it's very odd that I can't have a studio set up. I guess what we'll do is we'll rectify the situation the next time, and we'll actually, myself and Kala, involved, and we'll upgrade so that we do have studio again, so we can set up. But I am getting an error message, so I have no idea what's going on, but the first thing I'd like to do is congratulate John Gianorio and his Cubs. The Cubs won the World Series. That's the last time we were on the air. This is something that we joked about a lot. I certainly joked about it a lot. I kidded JPG a lot about it. And, the Chicago Cubs are world champs. They did it. They came back from 3-2 down against the Indians. This was awesome. That was a great series. What makes a series great when it comes to the World Series? Well, I'm not going to say that every game was classic. It wasn't. This was not a classic series. When you have a Game 7 situation, after how they won Game 6, and they're coming down to the bullpens, and Joe Maddon, or Joe Madman as I like to call him, deciding that he's going to just take his starter out of the game for no reason, no apparent reason, other than the fact that he's an idiot, taking out his starter, the guy who should have won the Cy Young Award. It makes for chaos. So he overused Chapman. He definitely overused him. And Chapman, for some reason, was in the game really way early, way too early. And they had a big lead, and Chapman gave it up in the eighth inning, the 3-run home run. Honestly, I don't think there was anybody, once the Indians found a way to tie that game, especially Cubs fans, that thought they were going to win. Because they looked like they were on cruise control. They looked like they were going to win easy. And somehow, the game got tied. And it really looked like they were screwed. It really looked like Madman screwed the pooch again by going to Chapman after Chapman had pitched in Game 6, and he wasted him for that game when they won pretty handily. And it didn't. A lot of things that he did not make sense. Overusing your closer. Why? Because you just decided that you couldn't. You just decided that you couldn't, basically. That you wanted, you thought that he could be Andrew Miller and just basically. Kind of ridiculous. It is kind of ridiculous, to be honest. So, the fact that it even got down to that point, it didn't really make a lot of sense. So, that said, here we are, and what that rain came at the perfect time. It really did. If it did not rain, I really don't think they would have won. That rain. Oh, and Chapman, I can't say enough about him getting through the ninth inning. After that, eighth inning, it was on fumes. But they needed that rain. Jason Hayward, I made fun of him all year. I made fun of him the whole entire year. But he called this meeting and tried to calm everybody down. So, and it worked. So, and then they came through. They came through in that 10th inning. And I really think they had to win it in that 10th inning. When I really think about it, because if it had gotten to the bottom of the 10th, well, I don't think Chapman would have been able to come back in. I just don't think the Cubs would have won the game if it was still tied. I don't think the Cubs would have won. I keep going back to something I said before the World Series about Ben Zobrist. Ben Zobrist hadn't really hit in the second half. He didn't hit. And then I told JPG I thought Ben Zobrist was going to have a good series. Maybe it was just the fact that he had the experience. He had experience, and he had won it with the Royals the prior year. I just felt it in my gut that somehow he was going to be a factor. And he went on to win the World Series MVP and got the go-ahead hit with the double, the clutch double, down the opposite field line against Shaw, another guy who was worked. The difference between the managers, Terry Francona didn't have a starting rotation to work with, really. His starters were hurt, and he didn't use Danny Salazar other than outside of the bullpen. He wouldn't start him. I mean, I actually contest that he should have started Salazar for the three innings because he was better. He's much better than I think he should have probably gone with Salazar in game six. I thought that was a big mistake. And Cooper just had nothing left in the tank for the third game that he was pitching in the series. I still do not understand why Madman decided to pull Kyle Hendricks. He did go to John Lester, and Lester gave him three innings. But it's like he just lost faith. He lost faith in some of his relievers. He had to go to Carl Edwards. And then it was Mike Montgomery after Rajai Davis, who had tied the game with that dramatic three-run home run that just cleared the left field fence. And Rajai Davis again, who had the RBI single, and it was out of all people. And this will be a trivia question. Who was the pitcher that got the save, got that final out? And it was the left-hander Mike Montgomery, a guy they picked up from Seattle Mariners. And that will probably be a great trivia question. Delivering that Cubs first World Series in 108 years. Out of all people, Mike Montgomery getting that final out. So, I mean, it was pretty special. All right. JPG, can that call up? I guess what we'll do is we'll try to have him call me and we'll patch him in. And I could patch him in. I guess, you know what? It was just pretty amazing, the whole thing, the way it happened. And, you know, the way they won that game five with those Cubs fans cheering at Wrigley Field to stay in the series, you know, it just gave me this sneaky feeling that it wasn't over. And JPG stayed confident. He was calm. He felt they would still come back and win. A lot of other Cubs fans didn't think that they could do it. And I just kept saying, if they can get to a game seven, they're going to find a way to win this thing. It was the same exact feeling that I had with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers against Golden State when they stunned them in game five. And they, I was like, wow, they're going to come back and win this series, aren't they? But they had to win game seven in Golden State. Now, there were a lot more Cubs fans in Cleveland than there were Cavalier fans in Golden State, or Golden Gate, as JPG likes to say. But something just told me they're going to find a way to get this done somehow. No matter how much Madman tried to screw it up, and he did. He tried to screw it up with the bullpen chaos, which really didn't make a lot of sense, to be honest. But you know what? This team, they had something. They had this magic. How do you know a team has magic? Well, how about that Cubs rally against the San Francisco Giants? Against my father's Giants in game four, where they got dominated for eight innings, flat out dominated. And the Giants being the Giants, they don't have a bullpen, and Bolsey refused to put Cueto back in for the ninth inning because of his pitch count. You know, at that point, if I don't have a bullpen, if I don't have a closer, fuck the pitch count. I want to get the win. I'm going for the win, and I'm getting it to Game 5 in Bumgarner, and I'm taking my chances in that one. Bullsey made a fatal mistake. He did a terrible job in that ninth inning, but the Cubs also proved why they won all those games. And that's what made them champs. They had that resiliency. They had that fire. They had that comeback ability. They always did have the comeback ability. And that's what made them special. It wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just Chris Bryant, whose back came to life late, and Rizzo, who slumped and then came to life late. But it was other guys like Javier Baez, just making plays at second base and getting big hits. And it was Zobrist. And you know what? The funny aspect is that they didn't hit all that well in the playoffs, if we remember correctly. But they had a Dexter Fowler. They had some grit. They had guys that you wouldn't think would get the hits, like Miguel Montero delivering that grand slam, that pitching grand slam. So they were a team. So when you're a team, that means you're getting contributions from everybody and you're finding ways to win. They did. That's what they did. They overcame. And they somehow, they dug deep and they knew what they had to do and they got it done. And, wow. I mean, I don't think anybody ever thought they would see it. I wasn't in Las Vegas with JPG when JP decided to move to Vegas. And that's still pretty shocking. He's been in Vegas for a while. Vegas G, LVPG. So I just have to tip my cap. Even though I still think Joe Maddon's a goofball, but they won. And that's all that really matters. And Maddon still got criticized after the World Series about some of the moves or some of the odd managing moves that he made. And I warned JPG about that. But you know what? The team won the World Series. They did something in Chicago that hadn't been done in such a long time. And there was this lady. She was alive the last time they won. In 1908, she was in the front row to see it. She would die soon after, but she got to see her team win. And I just thought, you know what? I think that was her reason for living. I really think her reason for living was to see it happen. Actually, she was 108 years old. So, technically, she was born in 1908, but she would pass away a week after. And I really think Mabel Ball, that was her name, her purpose for living was to see it happen. And that kind of a story, it just inspires so much. So much. I mean, She would not die until she saw the Cubs deliver. I really think, you know, sometimes I think there is a destiny. Her purpose was to live, to see it. And she did. And then she passed. And seeing the smile on her face and the tears, that was amazing. Still, there's been a lot of tough stuff for 2016. It just seems like there's been a lot of people that have been lost. And, you know, Alan Thicke passed away this past week. Huge hockey fan, of course, Jason Seaver, the great Dr. Seaver on Growing Pains, a guy that was a huge hockey guy. And you know how he died? He died playing with his kid, his youngest son, at the age of 60. I think he was, what, 67 or 68? And ironically, I saw him on oh, my God. Well, but anyway, he played hockey. He thought doing something he loved. He's a big hockey guy. Huge hockey fan. So, I just, you know, I mean, I just, you know what? If everybody could die with a smile on their face or doing something they love, playing with their kid, and he got to play hockey with his kid, he had a heart attack. It's sad that he's gone, but he did die something to do what he loved. Obviously, Craig Sager finally losing his battle of leukemia 2 years later. Craig Sager, to me, out of all like the sideline reporters that I watched, he was my favorite. You know, he was so special to that TNT broadcast with his funky outfits. And it's just winning, game-winning personality and how he handled interviews and his relationship with Greg Popovich, who hated these little quarter interviews, but they kidded each other and they had fun. And Popovich at least had fun doing them because you could tell everybody loved Craig Sager and cancer. And it's just... God, it's just so awful. But you know what? He got, kind of like Jimmy V, he got to make that speech at the ESPYs, winning that special award, and made the speech, and it was terrific, and haha, go live your life. And I just, you know, I just can't put it into perspective. It's just, you know what? I just want to talk about Craig Sager, and as we do, and we're going to talk about JP. Hello. All right. All right. So we're going to bring in our guest. It is. The one and only John Gianoria, who tried to FaceTime into the show, which would have been very interesting. Mr. Gianoria, I just want to say welcome back to this odd program that I'm doing. Welcome to a program without a studio.
Hello, Mr. Felix.
Hello, Mr. Gianoria. So, there's an odd error where I can't get... I don't have a studio for some reason. There's some kind of error. I don't know if it's just, it might just be an error, but for whatever reason, there is an error. It's an HTTP error, so I'm thinking it's just an error or whatever. It has something to do with Block Talk. But we are renewed, and we are. I did discover that I was live because I actually had to listen to my voice to make sure we were live, which is something you're not supposed to do because there's a delay, but I did. You know, put it on low, and I heard my voice. So I was like, all right, so we are live. Most of this first half an hour back has been about the Cubs and about the Indians and about something that most people did not think they would see in their lifetime and didn't. But can you talk about your confidence, even when your team was down 3-1, how you felt they still would find a way to do it?
I mean, I think Chicago sports fans aren't spoiled and jaded like New Yorkers, so it was easy for us to believe.
You really think
we don't panic when things are going bad?
Mike Rosa was the opposite of you. He thought the series was over. But you were, on the other hand, you had a calm confidence. You just had this, you had this feeling that they could still come back and do it. I mean,
we don't hit the panic button. Like I said, we are not New Yorkers.
Yeah, but Mike Rosen panicked. He certainly was giving up, basically. I mean,
look at how much enjoyment you get out of this.
I just think it's hilarious. I don't know. I find it funny. I mean, I do find it funny. I don't know. Now, but you were confident.
I was. I knew the Cubs were the best team.
When I saw the way your team won Game 5, I just got this, like, funny feeling. Like, it's Indians and Golden State Warriors all over again. It's going to happen somehow. They're going to find a way to get this to Game 7. If they get this Game 7, they're going to come back and win this series. And it's just, that was the hunch that I got in watching it. So, no matter how much Bill Madman tried to screw around with it,
It's Joe Madden.
But like, no matter how much he tried to push the envelope with Chapman, and we both knew.
Oh, fuck Chapman and his enormous amounts of money for doing nothing.
Hey, you look. I know you don't want to hear it, but you don't win that championship without a roster.
They do. They win it with or without Chapman.
No, they don't. You are completely insane. But then again, I'm not going to argue with you right now. And
Aroldis
Chapman
decided. That's what you're doing, is arguing with me.
I'm not doing it. Aroldis Chapman is back with the Yankees for $86 million, and I think that's a lot of money to give him. But Mark Melanson basically got 4 years for the same price with the San Francisco with Father Felix's Giants. So,
the Giants spending money again.
They didn't have a closer, all right? Could you blame them? You know what? They may as well have reincarnated Rod Beck and tried to bring him back to life and see if he could close games for them in the playoffs because that game four, because he would have been a better option for those guys, for those clowns that they had coming out of the bullpen. As Bolsey, he just turned all these guys one by one, you know? Got the young guy. First, he brings the young guy instead of Romo, which was a mistake to begin with. If you're going to have Romo call,
bring him in. Here we go again.
You know what? I said it before, and I'll say it again. At that point, right? In a
you're
short series.
Job.
In a you short said. Series. In a short. You know what? Shut up. We're back. All right. In a short series, so I had 130 pitches. Send him back out there for the ninth inning. If you don't have any bullpen, send them back out. You know what I'm doing right there? They hadn't proven they could touch him. They didn't touch him in the eighth inning. I mean, he struck out like two of the three batters. I mean, I would have sent them back out.
First of all, it was Matt Moore. So get your facts.
Matt Moore, you're right. You're right. It was Matt. That's right. That's right. What was Cueto going to be, the Game 5 starter? But you know what? I know that's right. Matt Moore is younger. You're right, but it's a good point on your part. I totally screwed up there. But I would have said, I'm giving you the ball. You get it to Game 5. You get it to Game 5 in Cueto, and we'll take our chances. That's what I would do. That's what I would have done. Especially if you don't have a bullpen. If you don't have a bullpen, then you don't got much of a chance, do you? You know, not much of a chance. We are still alive, believe it or not. Yeah.
You're a nut, man. You really are.
What makes me a nut?
Everything you say and do.
How? How do I do it, though?
By being a huge San Francisco Giants fan, first of all.
I am not a San Francisco Giants fan. I'm a New York Yankees, born and raised Yankee fan.
Until you discovered the succulents and you moved over. It's okay.
Whose top four players consist of, Donald Arthur Manning would be one. Two would be David Winfield. Three and four would be two guys that I liked rooting for as a kid. And that would be Dwight Gooden and Darryl Strawberry. Before I chose the Yankees by themselves after 86. Ricky Henderson, by the way, is up there for me. I was a pretty big Ricky Henderson fan. So, I mean, there are a lot of players, though, that I could put in that list. You know, guys like Ken Griffey Jr., Frank Thomas, Michael Trout, Michael Nelson Trout.
your favorite player, Michael Nelson.
Your favorite player, good God.
What do you like to talk about Michael Trout? Where does he factor into all this?
He factors in as one of the greatest players of all time.
Ah, there it is. Just keep in mind, all right? Bear in mind that you, none of those guys had the training regimen.
So many bullshit.
What if? So I'm asking you a question. What if Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, this goes on, didn't have regular off seasons where they worked, where they actually trained in the gym? How much better would they have been than any of today's players? How much better could they have been? That's a question.
I don't know, but why do you think so?
This is why when I see idiot reporters comparing the stats, statistics of Michael Trout and Mickey Mantle, I think they're completely ballistic. I think they're completely
nuts. Of course, because you have a very clear idea that the past is always better than the present.
You know what? You know what I wish we could do?
That's your, Derek, that is your right.
You know what I wish we could do? I wish we could go back in time.
Why?
There should be a time machine. Because then if we went back in time, we could watch these guys play, the Ono Swaggers, the Ty Cobbs, the Tris Speakers, and we could see how they compared with the players that we've seen in our era.
Well, you're so convinced that they'd be better. I mean, why do you even need to go back?
You know why? Because I think that if we watched those players, we would come away with a different perspective on how the game was played. Because the game's played very differently today.
Your perspective is that the past is always better.
I think that we have to think that the past is better when it comes to baseball. I just do.
Why? Yeah. You think it's better for everything. You were right. Telling me earlier today that the NBA was better in the past.
Well, the NBA was tougher in the past. It's not anymore.
Oh, my God.
Because you have LeBron James and you have Kyrie Irving and your favorite player, Kevin Love, all staying home and not playing in a game, which is a travesty. Well, that's a travesty.
Why? Why does it matter? Why does it matter to you? So
because it's so ridiculous. I mean, do you think an NHL player would say no? Sidney Crosby would say no. I'm staying home.
I don't care if he would. Who does?
You think Kevin Colquitt wants to not play? Like he missed four straight starts.
That's for sure.
Kevin Colquitt got a whole week off. Because he was so off. He gave him a mental break. Something you don't see happen with starting goaltender.
He's sucking like crazy.
You know what? You suck. But you know what? We still love you. And we still have you as part of our show.
You have nothing. You're just pulling stuff out of your ass.
No, I am not. I'm not. You think Bernard King said, I don't want to play today.
I don't care what that idiot coke addict had to say.
He wasn't a coke addict. What is wrong with you?
He was.
You're wrong, as usual.
You're wrong. Mr. Past is always better. The past is always better.
Oh, will you stop. Twitter
was not better in the past.
All right. I'm going to read you a stat line, okay? All right. I'm just going to give you a stat line of somebody. This is a pitcher, by the way. Okay? By the way, the year was 1908. It's the same year that your Cubs had last won. Okay. 37 wins. 11 losses. 1.43 ERA. 44 starts, 56 games pitched, so that means they actually came out of the bullpen 12 times too. 34 complete games out of their 44 starts. 11 shutouts. 5 saves. Yeah, that guy really did it all. 390 and two-thirds innings. 281 hits. 42 walks, 259 strikeouts. Oh, boy. And a whip of .827. How did he do that? How did he do it?
I don't know.
By the way, can you guess the pitcher?
No.
You know what? Come on, you know all-time players, don't you? You do. By the way, this guy was one of the greatest pitchers to ever pitch, and he's one of the greatest New York Giants to ever play the game. That's your hint. And he even finished second at MVP voting one year. Would you, have any guesses? Do you have any guesses?
I don't have any guesses.
All right. Do you want me to reveal it to you?
Reveal away. Yeah,
all right. Since we're doing this differently, I will just give you a link to the player, and it will be revealed. And then you could have a reaction. You could look at his career, and you could tell me what you think about it. Okay? And you could give your opinion. Just give me your little one-minute synopsis. Since this is all
right.
A lot of great ERAs, by the way, too. I know there wasn't as much hitting back then. That's part of it, but still. Pretty remarkable stuff. Pretty remarkable that his arm didn't fall off throwing all those innings. And he only pitched till he was 35. He started at the age of 19. Pretty damn remarkable. Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly, his last game was against the Cubs. Oh, yeah. And his last game, he went 3-for-5 at the plate. Pretty damn special.
Against the Cubs, that must make you very happy.
He did not live a long life. He passed away in 1925. Age 45. Yeah. And was inducted into the Hall of Fame. It did not get every ballot somehow. I don't know how. But 205 out of 226 when he was elected in 1936. So, amazing. So what is your reaction to this? You have a reaction to what I gave you?
My reaction is that I don't know why you care.
I'm showing you a difference, right? A different era.
Sure. The path is not, no matter what, the path is not coming back. So you can either enjoy these sports, as they
which
exist
I do.
Now.
I do
or
enjoy
you can
the
stop
sport.
Following them.
We're doing it, we're doing an analysis. We're
this
looking
is an analysis. You're just pulling stuff out of your ass.
We're looking at different eras. What we're doing. What's wrong with that?
Dear. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but okay. I am saying that if you like the past so much, maybe the present really isn't for you.
Yeah, I'm looking at this wins above replacement category, which MVP Trout, you know, is why he won the MVP, by being the MVP of a mediocre team. This Christy Mathewson had better wars than Trout did in some years as a pitcher. So
yeah, I don't understand like why these are shocking ideas to you. You never actually looked at the statistic before, and instead you just made a bunch of weird judgments about it.
Well, Christy Mathewson never won an MVP.
Well, maybe 100 years ago things were a little different than they are now.
Well, maybe 100 years ago, they didn't look at every stupid statistic and become nerds and major in statiology like you did at Stanford. Could that be it? Could that be the reason? Oh, man. Oh, just think, man. We're going to have shows like this every day. Every day there are going to be shows. Chaos will reign supreme again, Mr. G. Chaos. Do you like chaos? Are you chaotic?
I am chaotic. I'm a very chaotic individual.
You definitely are a chaotic individual. The New York Football Giants, are they a pretender or a contender or somewhere in the middle?
I follow football.
Oh, that's right. You gave up on football. Would you like to explain to the audience why you gave up on football?
Because I think Roger Goodell is a cock.
All right, he is. This is very true. Would it matter if the Bears had a really good roster? Would it matter to you? Would you watch? Would you pay attention a little more?
No, I wouldn't.
Even if the Bears had a shot at the Super Bowl, a realistic shot, you wouldn't watch.
Nope.
You're telling me. So you're telling me you wouldn't watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Why is it so hard for you to accept?
I don't believe you. I don't know. I just don't believe you.
Then don't believe me. Do whatever you want.
I don't know.
I'm not with you.
I think that you're a complete lunatic. What a shock there. You're a lunatic.
Lunatic as you, son.
No, you're a lunatic. You definitely are a lunatic.
Yeah, so are you. You invented lunatic.
No, you're a lunatic. You're a real lunatic.
You're a lunatic.
Am I?
Yeah, you really are.
You're a stat master.
Okay.
Have you heard of Tris Speaker?
I have heard of Tris Speaker. What about him?
Tris Speaker was one of the best hitters in baseball.
Okay. What's your point?
Well, the point is that he was a career 345 hitter, played for both Boston and Cleveland, and at the age of 35, he had one of the best seasons ever. He drove at a career-high 130 runs. He had 59 doubles, 11 triples, and 17 home runs, and hit .380. But walked 93 times and only struck out 15, and had a 1,079 OPS, and did not win the MVP. Interesting. Can you imagine a player like that? Didn't have to hit for power. Player who
there are plenty of players who don't have to hit for power. That's
but
a problem with crap that you say. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
There aren't players that can hit like Tris Speaker, though. There really aren't a lot of players that can do all that stuff. Jose Altuve is probably the only guy that I would use. And he's hit over 20 home. See, Tris Speaker never hit 20 home runs in a season. Are you a home run hitter?
I am a home run hitter. On Twitter. Don't be bitter.
Don't be bitter? Like a Twitter? Like a bitter? Twitter? By the way, Tris Speaker's 792 doubles, I believe, are a record. So just figured I would throw that out there to you.
Really?
He was a center fielder. He's 5'11", 193-pound center fielder.
There are plenty of guys in baseball now that are similar heights to that. I don't understand why you're making this such a big deal. Why don't you actually learn what the WAR statistic does and look at the leaderboard before you make sweeping judgments about it?
Sweeping judgments. Ah, very interesting indeed. Interesting insight from you. Interesting. You love
that. You're just saying saying interesting over and over again.
Because I think it is interesting. I think you're very interesting when it comes to this stuff that you like to use. But by the way, Trish Speaker did win an MVP at the age of 24. But which I think was it? I think that's the same age as Mookie Betts, who deserved to win an MVP but did not. So, okay, that's not his real name, by the way. You know, it's not. Would you like to know his real name? Yeah. Just call my number. Do you know his real name?
What's his real name?
Marcus Lynn. So there you go. Make fun of, you can use Marcus Lynn now.
All right.
We have a guest.
Oh, yeah, I heard him in the background.
It is the return of a very succulent, crazy person. What about Buffalo, indeed, with J&F, Justin.
What Fields. About? How about?
What's up?
What's up,
not
J&F?
Much.
What about how about, my friend?
What about Buffalo?
How about Buffalo?
Oh, man. Can you tell what kind of show this is going to be?
This has been a great show.
Yeah, it has. A December to remember.
What's up, J&F?
Not too much. What's up with you?
What's the word?
There is no word.
Is bird the word?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I disagree with why Trout won the MVP.
You do. You do disagree, though. Like, just be open about it.
You hate
Mike Trout.
He did have the higher odd base percentage, the higher walks, obviously. So, and the higher OPS because of it. They gave it to him. Decided that he was the winner of the award. I just think
Which
that
makes
Mark,
you angry because you're a Red Sox fan now.
I just think that Marcus Lynn Betts was a more valuable player. That's all. That's just a personal preference, okay? It doesn't mean that I don't like Mike Trout, okay? I just didn't think he was the MVP. That's all. That is it. Okay? That's the full explanation on it. Okay?
Okay.
If they awarded MVPs for offense only, then David Ortiz would have won the award. But they don't do that. So.
Do you not understand why a center fielder who hits the way that Trout does is more valuable than a DH?
Oh, I do. Of course I understand that. I'm just saying, if it was just offense,
But in a way, Derek, getting that kind of offense out of a center fielder is extremely valuable. It's like a power forward or center in basketball who gets a ton of assists.
Mookie Betts is a right fielder who won the Gold Glove, so he covered a lot of distance.
Your obsession with Gold Gloves, man.
Well, I mean, I've tried to give, you know, I'm trying here, you know, I'm actually really trying. This is not like Chris Bryant.
You're not really trying.
This is not like Daniel Murphy getting hurt and Chris Bryant running away with the MVP.
Oh my God, it is.
No, it's not. This was a close race.
Daniel Murphy was barely injured. That's not the reason he didn't win MVP, okay?
Daniel Murphy would have won the award if he was
no,
would help.
No, actually,
he would have
not have won. No, actually, no.
Oh, yes, he would have. But it's okay. I've accepted it.
You've accepted it.
The Angels made a move to actually improve their offense.
You've accepted it. Why are you such a Daniel Murphy fan?
I told you that Daniel Murphy was an MVP Murphy, and I was right.
You weren't right about anything.
The last time we saw MVP Murphy...
Oh, my God!
He was taking Body by Jake Yard.
Oh, my God!
He was also taking Clayton Kershaw. The greatest regular season pitcher of all time.
He was almost doing something.
The greatest regular season pitcher.
You know what almost
Clay
happened,
Kershaw.
Derek? You know what almost happened? All kinds of things. No one cares about almost.
You know, hey, Justin, do you remember when there used to be something called almost home cookies?
No.
You don't?
You are a nut.
Why am I able to remember these things? How am I able to remember these things, though? I am able to remember these things. You know why? Because I have appreciation. That's why. That is why. JPG. And JPG will learn. JPG will learn soon. Do you want to talk about the Knicks now?
Yeah.
About how much better they are than they used to be? And JPG's been discussing this with me at Facebook for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about Phil Jackson.
Okay.
JPG. Are the New York Knicks a pretender or a contender?
The Knicks are still 2 or 3 years away, which was pretty much what we knew when Phil got the job, that it was going to take 5 or 6 years.
No. Are the New York Knicks a pretender or
a contender? A contender for what?
A contender to make the second round or make the third round.
No, of course not.
Why not?
Because they have one player?
No, they don't have one player. They've got 3 or 4 players.
No, they have one player.
They have 3 or 4 players.
They have one player.
They have 3 players.
One.
3. Why do you have to discredit Derrick Rose when he's actually been pretty good for the Knicks? Why?
Because Derrick Rose has not been very good.
You are a maniac if you think that Derrick Rose doesn't matter. He's been good. What about Boston?
What about Boston?
I don't know. What do you call a bunch of intoxicated? What do you call a bunch of Boston, Massachusetts drivers?
Masshole?
Yes, I told the joke before.
But you like Boston.
But they are massholes.
But you like them.
I like Boston, the city. Okay?
And you like the teams.
No, I do not like the teams.
You like the teams. Like, let's not... Derek, like, why...
Justin,
why
do I like... Do I like Boston's teams, Justin?
No.
Justin, you don't know what's been going on in the chat.
This is ridiculous. I mean... You still believe that I somehow like Boston teams. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. It's a made up lie. We haven't talked about Christopher Sale yet, have we?
What about him?
Does he make the Red Sox a World Series contender on that team now? Are they a World Series contender?
I mean, aren't they basically the same team last year that you said was going to rock the Cubs?
I didn't even pick them to rock the Cubs. So.
You did. You said they had
the. I didn't even take them to the World Series.
You're such a liar.
Oh, my God. We did a
baseball
show.
You picked them to the World Series. We can go back and listen to the old show.
I picked the Astros, remember?
Totally the Astros didn't even make the playoffs.
But I did pick the Astros, and they just
lost. At the beginning of the year, before the playoffs started, you picked the Red Sox to win the World Series.
I picked the Astros. You're wrong about that.
No, at the very beginning of the year, you picked the Astros.
I did not.
Before the
Derek, stop.
Before the season started, I agree, you did pick the Astros, okay?
Okay.
But
all
before
right.
the playoffs started, and it was obvious that the Astros were not going to win the World Series because they hadn't made the playoffs, you changed and said the Red Sox were going to win.
I did not pick the Red Sox.
You picked in October, you picked the Red Sox.
I picked the Cubs.
You said they had you picked the Red Sox and Cubs to play in the World Series, and you said the Red Sox would win because they had the best offense in baseball.
I picked the Cubs to win.
Derek.
I don't feel like arguing this right now. Oh, man.
I know what you said, man.
Okay, JPG, you know what I said. So you insist that I said it. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to go to the audio tape, the audio block talk.
And we went off deep recording device.
you know what's funny? I recreate this show, and I don't have a studio right now.
I know.
I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I don't know. I mean, it's like Block Talk Radio is lured us back in. We couldn't stay away. You know, we had to get back in. Yeah, you know what I'm considering? I'm considering doing a video format show. Would you like to take part in a video format show?
No.
We could do it. You know what we could do? I've got a good idea, though. All right? This is actually a good idea.
What?
We could do it off of... Oh, my God. How could I forget? I mean, I have somebody that messaged Skype. We could do a Skype show. The first ever Skype with video. Why? What's the big deal? No good?
Not everybody has Skype. I'm not gonna.
I've got Skype.
I'm talking about, you know.
Well, you could call in and not have a face. You could be like, you know what you could be? The Black Scorpion.
You're the Black Scorpion. Is that the sound of your football? Oh, God.
What is going on? What the hell is going on?
I don't know. This is terrible.
What in the world? Oh, man. What is happening?
Oh, my God.
Are you doing that?
No.
Who's doing that?
I have no fucking idea.
You know what I think? I think that's Block Talk right now. Block Talk is doing that. You're back.
Hello?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know. I think it was the Block Talk lady. They're angry at me.
Maybe they have technical difficulties and, like, you know, they're not fixing things.
I still
Dan
don't have a studio. So
I know all there is to know about technical difficulties.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
I sent JPG a link to Christy Mathewson, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and JPG didn't know how to respond to it.
I don't know how to respond to half the things you say.
I'm going to ask you a question, flat out. Flat out. Did Justin Verlander deserve to win the Cy Young over Rick Porcello? Yes or no?
Yes.
Justin Felix, what do you think?
I haven't paid attention enough to know.
Okay. So I'll just give you the numbers, and you tell me what you think. Rick Porcello won 22 games and only lost 4 with a 3.15 ERA, 223 innings, 193 hits, 189 strikeouts, only 32 walks. Pretty good. Justin Verlander, 16 wins, 9 losses, 3.04 ERA, so a little lower ERA, 227 and two-thirds innings, so 4 more innings pitched, 171 hits, so that's less hits, give it up. 57 walks, so it's more walks, but 254 strikeouts, which was the most in the AL. So who do you think should have won this Cy Young?
I don't know.
JPG says...
I told you who should have won already.
I would have given it to Zach Britton. I think Zach Britton was the best pitcher in the AL. 47 for 47 saves. Saved .54 ERA. 67 innings, 74 strikeouts. I would have just given it to the closer. I don't think any of those starting pitchers were dominant.
JPG, you know who I would have given it to?
Oh.
Urban Shocker.
Oh, God.
I can agree to that.
Of course you could.
Of course you could, son.
Of course you could.
Should we talk about dollar backs? Rob Davis's favorite pitcher.
I don't know. Should we?
No.
Why not? All right, so Dollar Max won his second Cy Young.
He talks about him.
Look, I mean, it's a topic, you know. He won his second Cy Young. He also won a Cy Young for the Tigers. So one of how many guys did it? Won both a Cy Young in the National League and American League.
Corbin Shocker.
Why do you keep saying that? Oh, my God. Well, did Pedro do it? Didn't Pedro win a Cy in both the NL and the AL? I think Pedro did, actually, right? Did he not win with the Expos, or he did before he got? Yeah, I think he did. Pedro, I think, did it in both leagues also. So, trivia question. And don't answer it, Justin. This is only for JPG to answer. JPG.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was Pedro Martinez traded straight up for? From the Dodgers?
I don't know. You tell me.
Justin, you want to go for it? Justin, you know the answer. I think
the Shields?
Yeah, you got it. See, anything old, anything that's old or vintage in the
Dodgers. But I didn't really know that, though.
You got it, though.
I guessed it.
Because, see, you have knowledge. That's why. You know what? When I look at Pedro Martinez from 1997 as a 25-year-old starter to 2003 with the Red Sox, I think he's one of the most dominant starters of that era, to be honest. I mean, let's put it this way. Pedro had a 1.90 ERA with the Expos in 1997. With 13 complete games. There's no pitchers that do that anymore. It struck out 305. He went 1.90. He went 289, 207, 174. Won 3 out of 4 Cy Youngs in those 4 years. 239, where he was hurt. 226, 222. Pedro Martinez, folks. Oh, man. Pedro started as a relief pitcher. You do know that. Jay Arroyo, don't you?
JPG.
I don't. Yeah.
Urban Shock is the Sacro Baseball Yoko.
Oh, sick.
So, Pedro, I think Scherzer became the first guy to win in both leagues. Like, did Randy Johnson do it also? No, I think Pedro was the last guy to do it. Randy Johnson, win the Cy in both leagues too? What do you think, Justin? Do you think that's a yes or a no on that?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Randy won one with the Astros, I think. No, wait. He got traded to the Astros. But I think Randy did win well. Didn't Randy win well with the Diamondbacks?
Nick Caruso should be commissioner of baseball. If he heard Randy Johnson's nickname, the big unit, he would have marketed him as the big unit.
That's luck there. Okay, so Randy Johnson. You know what's interesting about Randy Johnson, guys? His first Cy Young didn't come until he was 31 years old with the Mariners. A season in which he went 18-2. 18-2, folks, with a 2.48 and 294 strikeouts. That was his first Cy Young. He finished second a couple of times and then won four consecutive Cy Youngs with the Diamondbacks from age 35 to age 38. And then he came to the Yankees and he sucked. you know what? He wasn't that bad in his first year. It's just that he was disappointing. He was disappointing. But he was also 40. And he was 41 years old when he came here. So, you know, when I look at the statistics on Randy, his first year at the Yankees is not bad. 17-8. The ERA is not great. It's 3.79. But, yeah, he did okay. 225-plus innings, 207 hits, 211 strikeouts, only 47 walks. This is a guy who used to walk over 100 guys. So, I mean, the numbers are respectable. But he also had a 5-year ERA in his second season, and then he went back to the Diamondbacks and finished square, so, and had a better ERA there in the NL. I mean, some guys just aren't built for New York, but I don't think it was as bad as we made it out to be, you know?
It wasn't like Kevin Brown.
He was in his 40s. Oh, and by the way, Brandy Johnson was brutal in the playoffs for the Yankees. Oh, my God. He got brutalized in the playoffs.
It wasn't like Kevin Brown coming in.
Nobody will ever compare to Punchbowl Brown. So, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, and Dollar Back. Dollar. There it is. Oh.
Yeah, Derek can't go like more than 10 minutes without mentioning Dollar Max.
I love Dollar Max.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even though I still think that the Cy Young should have gone to the guy that I believed in, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I believe.
Derek, Hitlaw himself could have been competing against Dollar Max for the Cy Young, and you would have supported Hitlaw. You hate Dollar Max.
But I would not have done that. You know, you're so ridiculous.
You would have done that.
Well, I would not have.
You are the most
Hitler's,
biased.
But GPG, Hitler's stature is good.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I just noticed something. I'm going to start a protest. I'm going to file a protest about Dollar Max's first Cy Young. You Darvish had a better season than him. And he didn't win.
Here we go.
All right. So, Dollar Max got 20 out of 30 votes. So, and Darvish did not get a first-place vote. Do you know who the other first-place votes were for? For Anibal Sanchez. Remember that guy?
Hannibal?
Anibal Sanchez. He used to be good.
Anibal Sanchez?
And future Red Sox ace Chris Sale with a 11-14 record somehow got a first-place vote.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Yu Darvish had a 2.83 ERA. He had a lower ERA. He had only, but he won only 13 games with Texas, 13-9 compared to 21-3. All right, 209 2/3, 145 hits, 68 runs, 68 six earned, compared to 214 1/3, 152 for Dollar Max, 73 runs, 69 earned. So very similar, very similar. 240 strikeouts for Dollar Max and 214 innings, 56 walks. Impressive. Darvish struck out 277 batters to 209 innings, 180. So shouldn't you, Darvish, have won the Cy Young? Oh, that's right. They only took it to the count the wins. So that's why Dollar Max won. Dollar Max was the winner, the runaway winner. By the way, do you know who finished sixth in the voting, guys? A guy that still pitches.
Who?
Bartolo.
Oh, God.
Bartolo. Yeah. A guy that gives up more hits than Diggs, but still pitched to a 2.65 ERA with Oakland. Clayton Kershaw, JPG. Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Edward Kershaw. Would you like to send a tweet to the Claw on Twitter? Twitter?
Maybe.
You know what? I've decided to follow Clayton Kershaw on Twitter.
Oh, God.
This will be one of the best follows ever. Clayton Kershaw.
Why are you being so weird? Why are you being so weird tonight?
I want to be weird. That's why. Clayton Kershaw.
JPG.
I
want to be a Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Derek is acting weirder than Hulk Hogan after a bad batch of steroids.
You know what? I got an idea. Let's send Barack Obama a tweet and ask him about his real record and why he thinks it lasted 8 years but such
a
great.
He might start spying on you.
He could. He could start spying.
Who is this Derek Felix?
Should I follow Yasel Peak? I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Peak?
Yasel Peak. The Dodger.
I know who you're talking about.
Who is this next to Cursor? Is this his girlfriend? God, she looks like she could be his daughter or sister. A very scary picture right here. You know what? It's just because he's so tall. It's because he's so tall. Like, he towers over her. She does not look like she could be like his wife or girlfriend. I don't know. I just sent it to Robert. I'm sending it to JPG and I'm sending it to War. And I just want to see if I can get some comments about, because it's an interesting picture. That's all I'm going to say.
Comments from the peanut gallery, the chip gallery.
Well, Kershaw's a big guy too. He is a big guy. So that's part of it. Part of why. I want to see what JPG thinks about this. I don't know. I just decided that I want to test the boundaries.
What now?
The boundaries. Clayton Kershaw's profile picture from Twitter. Gwita. Gwina. Gwina. Why is it that John Stockton and Karl Malone never took games off?
Oh, God. Have you ever watched basketball games from the 90s, Derek?
I watched a lot of games in the 90s.
No, have you watched them recently?
Not recently.
So then why don't you fire up some games? Why don't you fire up some Utah Jazz games from the 90s? And then fire up some Utah Jazz games from 2016 and tell me how they compare.
What the hell does that mean?
That means exactly what I said. You do what I said and then
I don't understand. Well, I don't understand what you're trying to prove here. I mean, what are
you
trying to prove?
I want you to do it. I want you to go with an open mind and I want you to watch.
You know, I think that you're a complete maniac.
No, Derek, why? Why won't you do this for me?
Why would I compare a Utah Jazz game today to a Utah Spaz game? Well, if you know what I mean.
Dude, why wouldn't you do it?
Because there's no point.
Why?
Because those Utah Jazz teams would kick the crap out of the Cleveland Cavaliers teams today and the Golden State Warriors teams.
Wait, what?
You heard what I said.
No, I didn't, because I was expecting you to actually address what I had said.
both Utah Jazz teams would have kicked the crap out of the Cleveland Cavs teams today and the Golden State Warriors teams. Love riling you up. So I have a question, though. What should I do with my Kyle Schwarber? Should I get it Braun? Because it's Kyle Schwarber. Should I get it, Braun?
Yeah, do it.
I agree. I should, shouldn't I? Mr. Gianorio. Mike Lupo.
Why did you link this? What is this? Oh, so weird.
I linked it because he's so much shorter than him. I wanted you to look at it.
He's shorter than who?
No. His girlfriend is much shorter than him. She looks like she could be his daughter or sister. I don't know.
She looks like he could.
You don't agree? Stuff. You don't agree.
That she looks like she could be his sister?
Or daughter?
What? Those are two pretty different things, son.
All right. What do you think? So give me your opinion. Give me your opinion of the picture.
It looks like a normal picture.
It looks normal to you?
Yes. JNF, you gotta get Derek under control. Maybe you need to lock him in the closet for a change.
I could lock myself if you want.
I'm busy with my big unit. Vince Russo told me it's important to do so.
Oh man, Vince Russo, huh? You love Vince Russo.
No, I don't.
But you talk about him a lot.
And we like making fun of him.
Wasn't Vince Russo like this great guy?
No.
That was going to save WCW from itself or something? How'd that work out?
Not too good.
Why didn't it?
Because he's an idiot. But it's not his fault, really, so.
Whose fault do you think it really was if it's not his fault?
AOL Time Warner.
Ah, I actually think that's a good answer.
AOL?
Yo, man. Fetter Tootin scored a goal. That was Fetter Tootin used to be on the Rangers with Jaromir Jagr. If Fetter Tootin scoring goals against you, that means that you probably suck at hockey.
Who scored?
Fetter Tootin.
I heard you, but who did he score for?
The Colorado Avalanche.
Oh.
Scored the only goal for the Avalanche. That's very sad. That's devastating. The Florida Panthers finally found a team that they could beat. They beat the Avalanche by scoring the next three goals. Yes. News alert. The New York Rangers have decided to change their logo. Yes. They have decided.
To a player in a tutu?
Basically, they have decided to put their players in diapers.
Wonderful.
With a sponsor. A sponsor. The sponsor will be... Think about this. Gerber is going to sponsor the Rangers for Noah. So, after what happened with Tyrek Lundqvist last night, it's a very sad time.
What did you write before?
Oh, whatever I wrote, people have read it in dozens. People are reading it.
What was it about, though? The hit?
It was about it was about the thing.
Right.
It was about the whole thing. And, well, I've never gotten that many hits in that quick a fashion. That's never happened before. Not even, like, you know how I wrote the article about Carpadello?
Yeah.
This one had so many hits right away.
What was it about, though? Was it, like, negative towards the Rangers? What was it, like?
All right. It was negative towards the Rangers. It was negative towards...
Yeah, yes, I know. I understand that part. But...
All right. You know what? I mean, if you go to that site, you'll see the article. You can read it, and you could tell me...
Well, I wasn't going to read it now. I was just... I haven't been to, like, any of those sites for lately.
Okay. Well, I mean... You'll probably see it, and you could read it, and you can give me... It's up to 703 views already. So,
now, did anybody agree with you?
Well, Kevin DeLory, who's back to blogging again, said that's pretty much how... I think you pretty much summed up how most of our fans felt. You know, the fans that actually care about responding feel. I summed it up pretty well. Now, the title of this is called Cody Akins' Cheap Shot on Lundqvist, Embarrassing on Many Levels. That is the title.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, so, yeah. JPG, did you ever watch the video of the hit? I think I linked it to you yesterday. Did you watch it or you didn't? Cheatorio? PG. JPG would never watch a hockey video.
Yes, he has.
He's too busy jerking off to Vegas. To Vegas stuff. Vegas? 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 Clayton Kershaw's girlfriend. I'm just trying to. It's better I don't. It's better I don't. I don't think about this stuff. It's just not good. yeah, Derek Felix has lost his mind again.
Right.
Derek Felix. Meanwhile, if you do go to NewYorkPuck.com, you could also read our devil blogger Hassan and his furious column about is it time for a coaching change? He has ripped into the Devils. So. Ripped into the Devils completely.
No.
Yes?
I was going to ask you about your article, though.
Is there a specific thing that you want to ask about it?
Sort of, but like I don't know what to ask, really.
What would you like to ask?
What exactly did you say that summed it up, like?
Just that, you know, it didn't matter that they were on a power play. It didn't matter that they had the wrong players on the ice, but it was Jimmy Vesey and Shea.
Oh,
that they didn't have a response was really sad, you know?
I hear you. It's sad.
It was bad.
What do you think McElroy would have done?
I think McElroy wouldn't have been offered a power play. That's the whole thing. You know, the only guy who actually had a response was Nash, and you know, immediately the referee
he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't have to.
Of course he shouldn't be doing it. I mean, it's so ridiculous and so lunacy and just lunatic-y that I don't know.
See, Matt Orioff would have got benched for sticking up for his teammate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of questions. You know, he passed the puck to Shea. Shea started skating. And I'm sure he saw his goalie get taken out. VC was watching it and looked at the referee.
Yeah.
And neither of them did anything. And then they blew the whistle when the Rangers were, like, towards the Dallas side. Nash took a couple of steps towards Cody.
Ooh, I'm shaking my boots now.
Yes. And Cody Eakin was suspended for, you know how long.
Four games.
So, yeah. I mean, I made sure to get the picture of the image of Eakin with the delivery. I got the video also of it live in the article. I've got a link of the NHL explanation for why he got suspended 4 games. So I included all this stuff, and I gave my take on it. And I talked about this team and how they don't really have the players that can actually do anything about it.
Even if they did have the players, they still wouldn't do it because it's all the coach. That's what he tells them to do.
I'm not so sure about that because at least in his first 3 years, there were players that could have. Well, like Macarena, Glass. Even Daniel Carcillo. I just referenced some players, and then I referenced players from Tortorella's era, like